Next, we have Dr. Richard Whalen from New York, Mount Sinai, St. Luke's Roosevelt. He's the chief of colorectal surgery there. He has been doing a lot of ESD as well. He's going to talk to us about EMR, ESD, how to do it, and what we have learned. Dr. Whalen.
Thank you, Sang and Peter, for the invitation and the college as well to have a chance to talk to you.
And there are seats up front. If anybody sitting in the back, there are a couple up front. If you want to come up front, have a seat. All right, take.
We don't want any fire marshal out of here, okay? We don't want a fire marshal. That's bad news, and things can happen. People get stampede out of here.
What would Hillary say?
Well, Hillary, she's not talking to me right now. Turn out that foundation thing I did was not such a great idea. So I got a lot of time on my hands. So I'm doing opening car dealerships. And I said, I come up to Boston. I love Boston. That's a blue state, you know. Anyway, I think it's great what you guys are doing here in terms of all this education. And I had a polyp. Well, I'm going to tell you about that, but that hurt for a while. And I bled. It was most of the bleed. I bled. But anyway, so I'm going to talk about these advanced methods much better. Anyway, all right, so we're talking about large benign polyps. That's what we're talking about, these flat things. And these are the kind of things that that really give you pause when you encounter this if you're in an endoscopy suite to do something like this. What are your treatment options? We've just heard about EMR, which is basically a saline lift and then a snare piecemeal removal of a polyp. That's one method. The other one is endoscopic submucosal dissection, which we're going to talk about more here, which gives you an M-block specimen. And then there's colon resection. And in the data that we pulled out from the national inpatient sample and from the SEER database suggests that 28,000 patients in the U.S. each year have a colon resection for a benign lesion. And if you look at the mortality averaged over the country for these cases, it's about 1.5%, which sounds high, but that's the numbers that are out there. So that's 350 people are dying within 30 days as a result of an operation for a benign polyp. If you look at the morbidity and mortality for a ESD or EMR, it's 1 in 10,000, 1 in 12,000. The cost of it is probably one-fifth presently of what it would cost to do a colectomy and have an inpatient stay. So there's every reason for us to try to not do the colectomy for the patient's well-being primarily, but also it helps the healthcare system as well. Now, you know, if possible, we want to try to save the colon for sure. Now, well, these advanced methods began in Japan, where they have a very high incidence of stomach cancers, and they do a screening programs that pick up a lot of early lesions, and they developed EMR as a way of getting large biopsy specimens from the stomach to get a better diagnosis, but then began to use it as a treatment method as well. From that came the idea of endoscopic submucosal dissection to give you the best specimen, which is an N-block specimen with a margin around it that the pathologist can evaluate in terms of the lateral margins and your deep margin. And that's a huge step forward. Now, why would a surgeon be doing this? It's because in the U.S., most, you know, I don't know about your GI guys, but a lot of our GI guys are doing 30 cases in a day. They're doing them every 15 minutes, and they don't want to, you know, there's no money in this because there's no CPT codes for these procedures. ASD, there's no code for it. EMR code is there, but if you spend three hours doing this thing, you get, you know, 5.7 RVUs or 6.7. It's not enough to justify that. So the GI guys aren't doing it, and nobody else is really either. So these patients come to us, and then you take a colon out, and you find a little polyp. You go, are you kidding me? We just did this colectomy for a polyp that's not that big. So the idea of us wanting to look at the polyps and see if there's another way of dealing with it endoscopically makes sense. Now, EMR, it's basically just a lift and a snare. The whole idea of a lift is you want to expand the submucosal space, so you push the lesion further away from the muscularis propria and the serosa. And then you can work with a needle knife in that space or use a snare more safely because you have more distance between the area that you might perforate. And that's the whole idea of it. Now, if you have small polyps, if you look at EMR series, about 25% are N-block because they're small. The other ones are going to be piecemeal. And this is just the idea of what you're trying to do. You're trying to get your sclerotherapy needle into the right plane, and then you inject, you make a lift, and if it's a small lesion, you do it en bloc. If it's a large lesion, you're going to do it in a piecemeal manner. Now, another way to do this is to take a variceal bander, which is not something I've done, but this is in the literature, and you basically fire a band, and you take a flatter polyp and make it into something that's pedunculated that you can then put a snare on and cut, and then you work your way across this thing like that. That's not being done very often, but that's, again, in the literature as another way of doing it.
ESD, again, the goal is end block resection, and it's really an operation because, you know, if you think about the way we do endoscopy, you put the scope at the polyp, you advance your instrument forward, and you either grasp it or strangle it, but the scope head, your tip is not moving. It stays stationary while you're doing this. You're jiggling your snare, but you're not doing anything to the tip. ESD is a knife is extended from this, and you're going to do an operation and paint around the lesion the line of resection you want. That takes control of the tip while a hot, activated knife is extended. That's a whole nother skill set.
Scary.
It's a lot of work, and that's the skill set we need to get. It requires new skills. This is just to show the basic ESD. For ESD, since you don't have a retractor, as Ember told us, there's no retractor, gravity may be your only retractor. So the patient has to be positioned. You find the polyp, figure out what up is for the polyp, and turn the patient to that position. Then you have to get your submucosal lift in here, and then you're going to mark it, and then you want to score it. But again, this is an operation. It's not a one-shot deal where you grab the thing and you strangle the bejesus out of it, and then it falls off. This is a thing where you're actually doing an operation, and you then can get the scope tip has a cap on it, a plastic cap that holds the tissue away, so when you have a big enough hole, you put the cap in the hole, and you can then present the fibers to yourself and divide them that way. And finally, you're left with a muscle defect, which you can close or not close. This is a side view of it, just to show initially you can't see the submucosa. You just make your incision, and then you slowly work your way until you can get the actual scope into the hole. This is the classic ESD method. It is very hard to do. And this is just to show the idea you need to, for all your injections, when you inject the bowel, you want to be parallel, tangential to the surface, so your needle goes in at a most obtuse angle as possible, so you can get the bevel in the layer you want, and you want it in the submucosal layer. Sometimes it goes in a deeper layer. And once you've got that lifted, then you're going to use your needle knife to do this. So, and these are the different knives that are available. And here's what we did. We said, oh, this won't be so hard to do. So I'm going to just connect the dots. I'm just going to go along here. I'm going in, whoa. And this is what happens. It's the Zorro maneuver. I mean, you end up, turns out that where I think the scope tip's going to go and to make a circle with the scope tip, not a line, a circle. This is really hard to do. So we need to get the skills to do this. And again, for the first time, you've got to control the scope tip while it's moving and do something while the tip is moving. And you can move it with two hands on the dial or one hand on the dial and one on the shaft. But you've got to learn how to do that. We came up with an idea of taking a plastic tube, make a window in it, put a shape in it, like a figure of eight, a different line figure, take a sclerotherapy catheter, put a piece of cotton in the tip, put some methylene blue diluted as a solution, and use it as a pen and try to draw these figures. So, and this is the figures we chose. And here you can see our initial results. At first, the first one looks like it was after four cocktail parties last night. Yeah, that's me up on the right there. And then you see, though, with time, though, it improves. And that's the thing we showed my partner, Nipa Gandhi, who had never done this. She did eight sessions, and this is the time of those sessions, how it came down. And this is we looked at deviation from the line. We looked at a variety of different things, how many strokes it took, and all these improved. So by doing this, you can get some skills that you could then use in this setting. The components of this, again, are the injection, then the cautery burns to mark the excision surface, because once you get going, you'll lose track of the edge of where it is. And then you score the surface in sequence, and then you do some undermining, and you work your way around the lesion until it's detached. Again, the lift is critical to give you that working space. Now, this is just some little clips. This is just showing the lift, which is so critical. And here's a lesion in the right colon. And when they get a good lift, it's a sharp lift. It's a circular lift. If you get a kind of a gentle, dull lift, it's usually one that's in the deeper layer. The muscle or the subserosal can expand. But this is the kind of lift that you want. And you need that. Without a lift, it's very dangerous to try doing this because your chances of perforating are very, very great, especially in the right colon, which is so thin. Now, marking the circumference, again, you want to mark the lesion, the area to be removed. And so you do this with your needle knife, hardly even, not out at all, or just out a little bit, and you use the cautery for this. And you don't want to be full thickness burns on this. You want to get just partial marks, that's all. And this can be done quickly. And then you move on. The first thing you're going to do actually is incise the thing, and you do that with a needle knife, and then you change the settings on your electrosurgical generator. This requires special generators for this. It's not your typical cautery machine. You need to have a special high-frequency electrosurgical generator, but this shows you look for that blue plane because the lift solution has dye in it, so you can see that purple color, and then once you're in that plane, you start to work under this. You've got to come up with a strategy of how you want to do this, but you usually do it in quadrants, and you want to start proximally, and come distally in general, because it's harder to do the distal part, the proximal part later. And this just shows
Now, you're holding on a second, because we got time. So the energy, it's usually the Irby or the Olympus generators that we're talking about, for the most part?
Yeah, but there's also, there's other companies that that are out there as well. But the point is there's specialty thing, and there's lots of settings for it, and you have to get them to help you set it up.
And Injectate, what are you using for Injectate at this stage?
Eleview.
Yeah.
We're using, which is a commercial solution that's actually really helped us immensely do this thing, but we also use albumin. You can use mannitol. You can use, there's a variety of things you can also use for this, and there's a new one coming on the market from one of the companies as well that we look forward to, because if you can get a lift that stays, that's half the battle. And if you use saline, it goes down within a minute or two, it's down again. Saline with Epi, you get 2 minutes. You need something that will help you stay there. Once you get that space, if it stays open.
How many in the audience will inject, like a polyp is a centimeter, the flat polyp, a centimeter in size, will inject it first? Probably not many. How many will not? Because that should be every other hand's going up. Good. So those that don't, I would recommend that you do practice injecting, mainly so that you can practice really getting, as Larry talks about, the mucosal level to rise nicely. And so if you don't do that well on practicing on a little one, when you get to a bigger one, you'll fail. Right, Larry?
Absolutely right. And if you do it on a small polyp, you'll never lose any sleep over that. Sometimes you do a small polyp and you look at the end, you go, huh, yeah. And you may put a clip on the thing, but it's easier to just do the lift first and then you get good at this. So this was a, that's not working. So this is as the pocket develops and you begin to unroof this thing, you again put the scope cap in. But here, the gravity is helping us, so we're just working in the in that plane. And again, you don't want to go too far to the other side. You want to do a bit and then expand your dissection that way. This is if you put the scope tip with the cap in the tissue, this is what it looks like schematically, and here's what it looks like in life. So the fibers are being held in front of you there. They're kind of, the picture's not great, but you can see that we're cutting those fibers, and then we come to a vessel, and I'm like, what do I do? So I say Hail Mary, and then we just basically...
And that's like a 1 millimeter vessel. It looks so huge on the picture. Right?
I'm very uptight about bleeding. I don't like bleeding at all. There's also a coag graspers. There's tools. So if you get into bleeding, you can grasp very focally and a different setting on the generator, and you can take care of bleeding pretty quickly. But it does look scarier than it is. And again, gravity is your friend with this thing if you're doing a straight ESD, because as it begins to hang, it's easier to resect the rest of it. The final result, this is a different case. You know, this is in the rectum, and this is 2 days later, and we're doing good. So that's the idea of it. Now, the where do you do this? We're not good enough, at least I'm not. Emma actually is doing this now in the endoscopy suite, and so is Peter, I think, a few of them. I'm still doing them in the OR. I take them to the OR, I can send them for either this, an ESD or an EMR, or I can send them for a partial circumference resection. If it's in the cecum, you can take a wedge of that, or you can sang as a method. You put sutures on the outside where the lesion is, lift it up. You can put staplers across in the right colon and transverse to deal with that. And if that doesn't work, they also will get a colectomy. So they sign up for all three. We tell them, when you're done with this today, we'll get that polyp out one way or the other. And that's a benefit that we can offer that the GI guys can't. 15% of the lesions that go to the best GI guys, they look at it and go, I can't do it. It's not the right thing. They have to then go see a surgeon, do the consult, another prep. So this is an advantage for us with this. But I'm doing it in the OR setting presently. Now, we're going to talk about training. How could you possibly, if you're interested in this, how the hell are you going to learn how to do this thing? We don't have stomach cancers. I wait for 60 stomach cases, which is what they do in Japan, 60 before they let them go to the colon. I'll have been dead for 12 years. So that ain't going to work. And in the U.S., a stomach-centered system, which is the way it's done in Japan, will not work. We need a colon-centered program. And we have come up with something that we think works well. And it's worked well for our program. And that is, we basically take the ex vivo, a plastic tube, cut a hole out of it. I mentioned about putting figures on it. We then take a piece of pig stomach, put that over it. And you do a case. You can do a complete case that way. We did 50 of them. My partner and I did a bunch of those. Then we moved on to the bovine colon. This is a little tricky to get. You can't, you got to have a special cooler for this to take it around, but you got to get a piece of colon, and then you work in that. That's very realistic because you have the insufflation, you can perforate the wall. The size is a little bit bigger than us, but it works. And the thing is, we've done another 40 of those, and guess what? Our clinical success rate went to 70% from that by practicing. Because if you do a sport, you got to play tennis or play professional football and play one day a week? No, you got to do it all the time. So we have to practice. And that's our way to get the 60 stomach cases. We're going to get it instead on a ex vivo models, and then you move on and you can do this. You can buy a tower for $30,000. You can buy used towers. All you need for that for your center. You can use it for your residents to teach them how to do polypectomy, how to do biopsies, how to maneuver the scope. It makes sense. And this is the program we have. We do the three steps, the tracing, and then with a pig colon on each session. And then we do the after you finish 20 or 30 of those, you move on to the next one. And this is just to show the model. And this is the where we do the colon cases. And this is the pelts and what we get at the end. To summarize, there are new tools, and we saw some of the new tools Dr. Gorgon showed us. We're going to hear more about these later. That these platforms will allow us to do these much easier. But if you don't have if you don't understand that submucosal plane, and you can't get these lifts, and you can't understand where you are, it's going to be hard to utilize those tools. With just a bit of experience with this thing, it will be possible to then jump to these tools that are enabling tools. The code thing, though, is critical. The college, our societies, we need to come up with a way to get a code for this, because this is it saves patients, it saves money, it's in every way it's a win-win. But right now it's hard to justify to your hospital or to yourself, because it's a lot of time for very few, RVUs. So we need to work on that. But again, we have the potential to avoid 30,000 cases in the U.S. a year. Take those off the table and take a mortality of 350 and put it down to a couple. So this is really what we need to do. And I encourage you, if you want to learn more about this, there are ways to these platforms I mentioned. You can contact us, and we can tell you about how to set that up. Thank you very much.